The semi-annual celebration meeting of the church in New York City, June 24th, 2018. Scripture reading, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 through 19, Psalms chapter 90, verse 1, John chapter 1, verses 14 and 51, John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17.
Amen. And now, Lord, we do pray that all of us can be encouraged and strengthened Amen. By what you have done these days Amen. And these years. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We pray in your name.
Amen.
Amen. So let's read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Christ for his house we are, indeed we hold fast the boldness, the boast of hope firm to the end. I would like to speak briefly on the fact that the church is the house of God. But the Greek word house can also be translated household. And the way we would say it nowadays, the folks.
That's right.
The church is the folks of God. But my burden goes a little closer home. The church, we have to see, we have to realize, we have to even express the church is our family,
Amen.
Our folks.
Amen.
I don't know. It's possible that we think that, well, we are we and the church is the church. In the church, there's no individuals. There's only members.
Amen.
So we want to make this so clear. God's house is his family. And it is not a building. I think we're all clear about that. It's a living house, a living family where we all enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
How we praise him for such a reality. And the most wonderful part is that the Father
Amen.
Is not separate from the church. The Father and all the members of the church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is a reality, not a teaching, not a doctrine. So this is the church. We need to see that who is the one who formed, who built the church, who died for the church? The Lord Jesus. So today, he takes care of the church. Today, he is praying for the church. Today, he is our high priest.
Amen.
He is considering every aspect of the church.
Amen.
The church is actually the apple of his eye.
Amen.
It is something so important. Actually, it's so clear. In Ephesians 5:25, it says that he loved the church and he gave himself for the church. So, if the church is that special to the Lord Jesus, should it not be special to us? We need to realize, we need to, as we love the Lord, we need to love the church. As we love the church, we need to love the members of the church. So, this is something maybe basic, but so crucial and so important. So we need to see that we should be in the church. It is special to be in the church. It is a blessing to be in the church.
Amen.
We can all testify the blessing, the grace that we have received in the church. We believe we're going to see wonderful things that the Lord will do in the church because He takes care of the church. The church is God's family. Then let's read 1 Timothy 3:15.
By my delay, I write that you may know one ought to conduct himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God.
So here, Paul was concerned that we would know how to behave in the house of God. Well, there's only one behavior in the house of God, in spirit. If we're not in spirit, we're not in the house of God. But very interesting, Paul said something more specific in this verse. He says, how one ought to conduct himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. I have to confess, there have been many times that the Lord has spoken to me, not at home, not while I'm traveling, but in the house of God.
Amen.
And this is typified in Leviticus after the tabernacle was built. God spoke from the tent of meeting.
Amen.
The same today.
Amen.
He speaks in the church.
Amen.
I can relate one little incident. I was in the Lord's table, and as I was enjoying a hymn, suddenly there was a phrase which described what the Lord had done for me just recently. My tears came down, and then I felt the Lord's presence, and to me, it sounded like He tapped me on the shoulder, and He said, remember, you cannot worship me in your soul. Immediately, I reacted back to my spirit, and I praised the Lord because He's living.
Amen.
We have a living God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And then let's go to the last verses. Ephesians 2:17-19. And coming, He announced His members of the household of God. These verses show us what happened in the portion that we covered this week in John. The Lord Jesus went to Samaria. The Samaritans were a mixture. They had idols in the name of Jehovah. So when the Lord went to such mixture, He didn't say, okay, forget about them. That's what all of Israel would do. they would circle around Samaria. But no, he preached the gospel of peace to those who were far and to those who were near. And I love especially verse 19 because it's the one verse that says clearly the household of God. But I'm also touched by another word, members of the household of God. We're all members. We all belong. We're all part of the house of God. This is a corporate house. I think we're all clear that the church is not a building, but somehow we may feel separate from the church. No, we are members of the household of God. But still, maybe you don't feel this is your family. Maybe you feel your family is your children and the rest of it. But this is really our family. If you're in Hall 1, my goodness, so many people, you may feel strange. And maybe some of us are peculiar. And maybe you don't feel at home. Maybe you don't feel that you're in the family. But maybe in the small group, in the home meeting. I must say, for me, it's different. The small group, the home meeting. With us, when it's the meeting day, meeting evening, at breakfast time, the meeting is rotating. Where are we meeting tonight? And at breakfast time, we would pray for any who are sick that they would be able to attend. And we would have perhaps a brother, if we're a brother, or a sister, if we're a sister, that we pray with, have a praying member of our meeting. So we realize that this is the case. Now I'm going to go over this hymn that we sang because I believe it's real what we sang. If you flip over from the last page, hymn 1278. It says first in stanza 1, in the church of Jesus, there is love for you. I won't get into details, but some of us who have been sick have had an expression of such love. And it's not unusual for people to ask you, how are you? And they don't mean it just as a formality. So there is love for us in the church. Then in the third stanza, why should you be lonely? Why for friendship sigh when the church of Jesus has a full supply? In the church of Jesus, there is life for you.
Amen.
Today, nowadays, so many things are unreal in this world. So many things are cockeyed. They're out of place. But in the church, we have life. Not human life. We have the life of God.
Amen.
And the brothers minister Christ to one another. So then, again, it says in the third stanza, why should you be fearful? Why take anxious thought? Since the church of Jesus cares for those he bought.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Third stanza. In the church of Jesus, there is work for you. Oh. I don't want to work. I want to relax. I want to enjoy. The truth is, although there's work, and the work we call service, the truth is that no one is an individual. We serve together. Amen. And it's so enjoyable to serve together. So again, third stanza, why stand idly sighing for some life work grant when the church of Jesus seeks your reaping hand? And the last stanza, the best, in the church of Jesus, there is a place for you. Why then, like a wanderer, roam and weary, with weary pace, if the church of Jesus holds for you a place? I don't know whether you believe this or you don't believe this. Some of you may say, oh, come on. There's no place in the earth like this. You're just saying this because it's a celebration. You've had 60 years and you have to say nice things. Well, I will not give you heavy, deep thoughts. I will not argue with you. I will give myself as a testimony. I came to the church on Mother's Day, 1956, and I'm still here. If what I said wouldn't be true, I would have been the first one to walk out. Once you serve, you think you're special? No, you are a slave. I would have been the first one to walk out, but praise the Lord that we are in the church.
How about we read the first line of each stanza in hymn 1278? Let's read these together. In the church. Amen. Dear Saints, we're all so happy to be together. It's so good that we could gather like this to have the saints from all the districts. We don't see one another so often, but it's so comforting and so encouraging, even just to see and greet one another. And we do hope that during the lunchtime that we have, we're providing lunch for everyone and inviting everyone to stay. We do hope that there can be a lot of catching up, a lot of rejoicing together, and even testifying to each other of what the Lord has accomplished with each and all of us throughout this past year. You know, continuing our brother's feeling, the church has many aspects. In the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, the church is revealed as so many things. One of them is, as our brother mentioned, the house of God, and the family of God, also the body of Christ. He said in the church, we're all the members, right? We're members of the household, but we're also members of the body. The church here has been most recently going through a study of the writings of John, and we've been in the Gospel of John for a few weeks now. And in John, at the beginning, the Lord Jesus comes. Of course, we know he comes, and we say he was incarnated. We say he became a man. But actually, the scripture says that the Word tabernacled among us. The Word tabernacled among us. Those are the verses that we, in our program, that we read from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And it's very interesting that the word chosen by John to describe this, you know, it's not an accident that most of the New Testament was written in the Greek language, and is so rich in its meaning and in so many ways. But he chose this word that can be interpreted as dwelt, but can also be interpreted as tabernacled. He tabernacled among us. If you interpret it merely as dwelt, that has its feeling, and that's correct. But to interpret this way, he tabernacled among us. Oh, right away, there's a picture. There's a picture of the Old Testament tabernacle. And what was the Old Testament tabernacle? It was God's house. And it was the place where man could meet God. A place on the earth where man could meet God. You know, man has sinned since the beginning. Man fell and has sinned. But in the tabernacle, the sins are taken away. And man can meet God. That's John chapter 1. He came. And then in chapter 2, it says that actually his body was the temple. It's likened to the temple. He said, this temple, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. And so there, he's bringing in another kind of picture. You know, the writings of John, and this is why we're going through John in this way, has a lot of, kind of brings you back to the pictures in the Old Testament, especially about the tabernacle and the temple. And so what we see here is that God's desire is that Jesus himself, Jesus, would be, as we enjoyed so much at the Lord's table this morning through our singing of Hymn 203, would be the one grain that falls into the ground and dies and comes as many grains to produce one loaf. And in John chapter 2, what we see there is that the Lord, he died as a single man, but in death and resurrection, he would be enlarged. He would produce the church as the enlarged temple. So what does that mean? Dear saints, the church is the place. The church is the place where man can come to meet God. And also in John 1, there's another picture that Jesus introduces, and that is in verse 51. And I think we read that also in verse 51. And he brings in this picture of the ladder, right? Of the ladder. Well, says he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Of course, this picture, everyone should be clear, is taking us back. It's an allusion to Genesis 28, where Jacob has that dream. That dream. And it's quite a particular dream. It's a dream of a ladder that joins heaven and earth. Joins heaven and earth. And the angels of God are descending and ascending on this ladder. It's a ladder. That's Genesis. But here Jesus said, they ascend on the Son of and descend on the Son of Man. So he's saying, I'm the ladder. What ladder? The ladder that joins heaven and earth. However, when Jacob woke up, what he said was amazing. He said, this is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. The gate of heaven. So, saints, what does this show? This shows us an aspect of the church. What is the church? The church should be a place that when people come to that, to those people, when you walk into a group of those people meeting together, you taste heaven. Amen. It's the gate of heaven. And there's a ladder with traffic going on between heaven and earth. I can testify. I believe many of us here can testify. The day that we walked into the meeting hall, wherever that was, for me that was not here in New York the first time. For me it was in Los Angeles. But and many of us in different places, Chicago, St. Louis, Chicago, different places, but many here. I believe many can testify that when you walk through the door, you didn't know how to describe it at the time, but now you can describe it this way. I had a heavenly taste. I came to a place where earth and heaven are joined. That's the church. That's John. The Gospel of John is so rich. Another picture in John that the Lord himself gives us is in John 10. And that's what I really want to focus my brief fellowship on. And that is, the Lord introduces this thought in John 10, that he is a shepherd. He is a shepherd. And actually, we didn't have it listed, but in verse 16, he says, there is one shepherd, and there is one flock. So the church is a flock. The church is a flock. So what does this imply? Well, surely that means we do have a shepherd. We have a shepherd. Saints, we have a shepherd. We all have a shepherd. Each of us has a shepherd, and we all have a shepherd. I think many of us for years enjoy, and many, many believers enjoy Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. How about we say that all together? The Lord is my shepherd. Let's say it one more time, but emphasize the word my with sweetness. One, two, three, go. The Lord is my shepherd. But where does the shepherd lead you? If you go through that psalm, eventually that shepherd, he leads you to waters of rest. He lets you lie down in green pastures. But eventually the goal is to lead you to the house of God. That's the goal of the shepherding, to lead us to his house, to lead us to his house, which is his corporate expression for his satisfaction. Amen. And so saints, in the flock, what do we have? Well, we have a shepherd. But with the shepherd, what do we enjoy? I would say at least these few things. One is supply. The shepherd leads you to a pasture. The shepherd leads you to a pasture. And I think we can testify in the church life, there's a pasture. There's a pasture. And the shepherd leads us to feed. Leads us to feed. And you know, actually, I was born and raised in Brooklyn. I was raised in this city. For all my years, my whole life has been here, except for a brief 2.5-year period where I was in Southern California. But I tell you this to let you know that I don't know anything about sheep. Yeah, and I didn't grow up around a pasture and anything like this. But in the recent years, the Lord's arrangement has been that I do spend time with the saints in Australia a couple of times a year. And so they're not the ones that have the most sheep. New Zealand is the one that has the most sheep, but there's a lot of sheep in Australia. There was a camp, a Christian camp that we were using for one of our conferences, and I was there and actually spent my morning time, my morning prayer, in a kind of prayer chapel that they had in this camp. So secluded. It was wonderful. Oh, you'd love to pray there. You would love to pray there. And it's so green. And then the sheep are there. The sheep are there. And I saw these sheep. They were eating. And then, one by one, the sheep started I had a little window like this. All the sheep started disappearing. And then they were all gone, except for one sheep. One sheep. And this sheep, he was there. Yeah. And eventually, where he was eating, there was no grass left. There was no grass left. He started working on the dirt. He was going like this, like this, like this. You know, I found out later, because I asked the brothers about this, sheep really need a shepherd. Sheep need to be led. Sheep need to be led. So anyway, this sheep eventually picked up its head and looked this way and looked that way. And then went out and joined the rest of the flock. Rest of the flock. Because the flock had been led to another area for pasture. So saints, stay with the flock. Stay with the flock. Don't stay eating on what's not nourishing. Please follow the flock. Just stay, always stay with the flock. So in the flock we have supply. In the flock we have supply. Also, in the flock, we have rest. Amen. And I believe many of us can testify that that we found our rest in the church life. Yeah. And even I could, in this regard, give a testimony for my mother, who is with the Lord now for a number of years. But even she was a believer, and she was looking for the pasture, and she was looking for the rest. And for a period of time, she was wandering, until she came to the church in the Lord's recovery. And here she found rest. Here she found, after years of wandering. Saints, the Lord leads us to waters of rest. He leads us. This is our portion in the flock, in the church life. And the shepherd would always lead us to supply and to rest. And a third thing we enjoy is protection. You know, from the story of David, when he is about to fight Goliath, David, we know, was a shepherd boy. And when King Saul asked him, "Oh, how can you fight? You're just a small boy." Says, "Here, take my armor." And that armor was not his armor. He couldn't imagine him in this armor. He says, no, I don't need that, because the Lord is with me." And then he gives his resume, why he thought he's qualified to fight Goliath. And he talks about this experience of the lion and with a bear. With a lion and with a bear. There you can see that the job of the shepherd is to protect. Protect the sheep. But you know, what happens is that those predators, they always look for the sheep that go astray. They would not attack the flock, but they wait until one or two sheep are alone. Oh, dear saints, stay with the flock. Stay with the flock. In the flock, there is protection.
Amen.
There is protection. You know, in John, when this matter of shepherding is introduced in John chapter 10, he is the shepherd. He is the shepherd. And he's the one shepherd, the unique shepherd. But John ends, the Gospel of John ends in chapter 21 with a charge for shepherding.
Amen.
And the one shepherd now charges the disciples to go and to shepherd.
Amen.
And even Peter was one who failed. And it tells us in Luke 22 that the Lord told Peter, you will fail. But when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers.
Amen.
Strengthen your brothers. You know, saints, even our failures, the Lord could use them to shepherd and comfort others.
Amen.
All our experiences, positive and negative, are for shepherding others.
Amen.
So saints, even in the Gospel of John, we see this principle. At first, he's our shepherd, my shepherd. But then he leads us to the house where we enjoy all his supply. But then the charge is, go shepherd.
Amen.
And shepherd others. And we have these banners, which our brothers led us to read through. I hope you could realize the Lord's leading in the church in these few years, how faithful the Lord has been to the church here. All this leading really is with this heart for shepherding. With this heart. The advancing and enlargement and the trailblazing. You know, in these few years, we have these many new meeting halls, and we have our sights set on the Lord would open something for Staten Island. And of course, the Lord did something, or has begun something already upstate in Rosendale. We're not satisfied with that the Lord could do something in White Plains. And then to the east, in Stony Brook, and even in Nassau County, that the Lord would spread out. Why? Why? So that we could go shepherd more people. So that we could find more of the Lord's seekers. More, you know, it says in Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. So actually in the Lord's eyes, every human being is a sheep, a lost sheep. And so we'd like to branch out all over this city. We'd like to branch out all over the metropolitan area.
Amen.
Just to go find the lost sheep. And then with blending, relevancy, and truth pursuing, especially this matter of relevancy. Oh, we like to see all the saints shepherded into their function.
Amen.
into their function in the church life. A great part of which is shepherding others. Shepherding others. There's always someone that we can help, that we could minister to. And then, of course, this year is very clear. The first item, shepherding and then recovering. Shepherding and recovering. So, saints, this is our heart. This is our desire, that all of us would first experience the Lord as our shepherd, and that he would supply all our need, lead us into his house, into his building. Then we would be strengthened to have eyes for others. Amen. Eyes for others. Oh, I do hope that in 6 months when we do this again, I don't know where will this be, because where will we fit if we find more lost sheep? Well, we'll let the Lord lead us and take care of that. But saints, let us enjoy the shepherding and let us go out to shepherd. Amen. Amen. How about we sing the last two verses of this hymn one more time? Verses 3 and 4. 3 and 4 of hymn 1278. Verses 3 and 4.